You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid and conservative and just plain right. Time now, 2:07 p.m. It is the 19th of May. Beautiful day outside. So there's a triple dipper for the day. But, you know, if I hope you saw the news that broke yesterday, because that was a big deal. We talked about it right here on Right Side Radio when it did. The infamous Biden Administration Disinformation Governance Board, aka the Ministry of Truth. It folded up like a cheap suit yesterday. Oh, and the maven of disinformation who has all of zero life experience in governance, that Nina Jankowicz character, she was slated to be the executive director of the Ministry of Truth. She resigned after only 3 weeks on the job. You know why this happened, don't you? I mean, it happened that this bad idea, which was poorly executed and fraught with disaster, it happened that this poor policy decision received such a public outcry that even the usual tone-deaf Biden administration had to do something. You see, that's what happens when good people speak out. Now, in that vein, lately in my morning quiet times, I've been stuck in 1 Samuel 14. I say stuck because I'm going over it and over it again. I've been stuck in 1 Samuel 14 for, gosh, probably a couple of weeks. It's an awesome story, one of my favorites. So my personal usual routine is I'm up at zero dark 30 and I sit down with the Lord over a cup of coffee before doing much else. So yeah, 1 Samuel 14. I haven't been able to leave it. I've been reading it, dissecting it, reading it in different translations and reviewing what commentaries have to say on it. I mean, there's so many lessons in that one passage. But this morning, what caught my attention were verses 45 and 46. You see, just prior to that point in the passage, King Saul's son Jonathan had galvanized a beleaguered and depressed nation of Israel. They were hiding in caves, according to the passage. They were hiding in caves from the Philistines, but Jonathan was a warrior, and he sparked life back into the Israelite army by picking a fight and winning. His father, King Saul, was already in the process of losing his grip on the throne, and he had gotten out of hand with some bad decisions recently. And sure enough, King Saul, he just kept on making bad public policy. Saul decided once the battle commenced, once Jonathan had really galvanized the nation, Saul decided it'd be a great idea to make the sudden and reckless pronouncement that no one was to eat a single bite of any kind of food until they had wiped out the Philistines. Well, you know, I'm sure that sounded cool sitting by the fireside, but the troops going into battle without rations? And then it became a sustained battle that went over days. And the army was getting winded as they chased the Philistines, but the king's bad policy decision, it was still in front of them. The only one who had not gotten the word about this, because he was too busy actually fighting the Philistines, was King Saul's son, Jonathan. Jonathan, the same hero who had inspired the battle in the first place. And sure enough, Jonathan, out there on the battlefield, as they chased the Philistines, he came upon a beehive, he dipped his sword into the honeycomb, and he ate it. Well, that became a whole thing. I mean, really. There he was, the hero of the nation, unaware of a stupid and rash policy decision that did nothing to achieve the victory. He's focused on winning. But when his father, King Saul, found out about it, he pronounced that his own son would have to die for violating the king's edict. Can you imagine this? The king actually stopped the battle. He quit pursuing the enemy who were on the run to deal with his son having eaten a bite of honey on the battlefield. Now you can imagine how that went over. The people were beside themselves. They respected their king, but they loved Jonathan. He was their hero. Everyone knew it was a bad policy decision, but no one had issued a contrary word of counsel to the king when he first proclaimed it. But now Jonathan's life was on the line, and the people, well, the people had had enough. So in 1 Samuel 14, 45, and 46, the people made themselves heard, and they did so very clearly. The direct quote of that two verses from a modern translation goes like this. It says, "But the troops retorted, 'Jonathan, who saved Israel today, shall die? Far from it. We vow by the life of God that not one hair on his head will be touched, for he has been used of God to do a mighty miracle today.' So the people rescued Jonathan. Then Saul called back the army, and the Philistines returned home." Now let me paraphrase that for you. The troops retorted, it said. That's a stiff reply. That's really almost belligerent, argumentative. They weren't taking this up for debate. They basically said, "Well, by God, that's not going to happen. He's the reason why we had a victory. You're not touching a hair on his head. He's the only one among us who's been doing God's will all along." And then it said that Saul just quit the battle altogether and let the Philistines go home. Well, here's the thing. Here's what got my attention when I keyed in on that passage early this morning. Leaders, and we see it all the time, leaders sometimes make bad decisions. Leaders sometimes chase rabbits and they forget what's important. Some leaders become prideful and they believe that because they're the ones who set the policy that there's no discussion, it doesn't matter what the outcome will be. But their policies, they could never be wrong, right? But the people still have a voice. And the people can still effect change. And the people can still band together and make themselves known. Take note that in the story I just related that no one threatened the king, no one raised a finger to him, no one insulted him or renounced him as their leader, but they did say enough is enough. And they chose to disobey and to call for sanity in the midst of the madness. And the people who were willing to do so put their own names on the line. They stuck their necks out there. But they did it because they were loyal to the one who was being mistreated. And they saw injustice and they would not sit idly by. So here's my point. When we see really bad decisions made in the realm of public policy, things like shutting down businesses and churches, which the Ivey administration did, or mandating vaccinations or you could lose your job, like both Biden and Ivey did, or teaching kids that they are privileged oppressors or a hapless victim simply because of the skin color that God chose for them, like you hear about in critical race theory, or when government grows itself on your tax dollars without any relief, like both Montgomery and D.C. have been doing, or when our southern border is non-existent and we are days away from making it worse by not enacting good decisions on border security, or when we can be fully energy independent, as proven in the last 2 years, but yet we choose instead to deal with Iran and Venezuela to try and get some of their oil now. What? Or as in the case of what happened yesterday, our own government decides it's going to be the arbiter of truth through its official Office of Disinformation. Well, for all those reasons, and many more, it's incumbent upon the people to become what Thomas Jefferson described as the well-informed citizenry and to make our voices heard. So based on what I read in 1 Samuel and what I saw happen with the Office of Disinformation, apparently making our voices heard, it can be very effective. So get her done, folks. Speak up. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way. Well, there you have it. Really got me as I was already thinking about making something in my monologue today about the Office of Disinformation and how the people spoke up and this thing looks like it folded up. And then I find that passage in scripture is like, okay, there's affirmation. There's what I'm doing today. And there it is, folks. If that's not affirmation enough for you, get out there and say the things that need to be said. Public policy may be public. It doesn't mean it's always right. And sometimes it has to be spoken to very clearly. All right, Phil Williams. Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back.